Then take it out.
Be my heart's obsession, first and only in my life. In your love alone, my soul is satisfied. Be my heart's obsession, first and only in my life.
every situation, to every person, to every situation, to everything we come across. You know, no matter what it is that comes at you, you know, my child is sick. Well, I'm going to go home and I'm going to take care of it. That baby's healed right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just speak health over my baby right now in Jesus' name. Well, your job's in jeopardy. Well, Lord, I thank you that you know what my future is, and you have my future in your hands. And I don't worry about what a certain job will do, but I know that whatever it is, you're going to take care of me. Sickness has come upon your body. Lord, I thank you. This is not mine. My bloodline now is connected to you, and Jesus didn't have this in his body, so I don't have to have this in my body. And I declare healing in the name of Jesus over this body. I thank you that this body walks in perfect health. Amen? Somebody talks bad about you. You don't walk bad, walk away from them and get mad, get angry. Lord, I thank you that you touch that person, that you bless them, that, Lord God, whatever they have need of, whatever they're hurting from, whatever situation they're going through right now, that you will meet their need. And I thank you that their day is going to turn around, and you're going to turn it for my good. You're going to turn it for their good, and the devil's going to pay today that he even messed with your child. Speak life. So when we declare these words, fear and doubt, guilt and shame, how many of us in our lifetime has dealt with these? We're declaring, no more. No more. Devil, you've had your last days of holding me down with guilt and shame, fear and doubt. Amen?
Gone before you. He has gone before you. That's why I don't fear when Pastor goes overseas.
Amen.
Because the Lord has told me he goes before them and he prepares
Amen.
Their way.
Amen.
And I know that they pray and I know that we pray for them, but I know they're going to walk where he tells them to walk, and they're not walking anywhere but where he tells them to walk. You mean he's prepared our way.
Because I do got to tell you, I got to do something now. I'm not being disrespectful, but just for a moment here, I got to put on my hat.
Hallelujah. God's army.
God's army. Give the Lord a hand. Now listen, I'm not going to wear this all night, but I want you to understand something. That you might not know it, but because you are saved, you have the helmet of salvation. You have an earmark from the Lord that's on your spirit and is present all the time. I want you to know that you are not going quiet. quietly through your neighborhood. I want you to know that your neighbor that you see in the natural might not have made a big deal about you coming here tonight, but I want you to know that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness is completely aware of who you are. I want you to know that you are a big deal every day. Every day, you're a big deal. I want you to know something, that angels of God are assigned to the primary responsibility of watching over you and helping you in this life. I want to remind you that there's a story in the Bible where there was a young man who was just terrified. There's a whole army and several kings had assembled themselves and was coming towards him and the prophet. And the prophet of God said, listen to me, I know what you can see in the natural, but there is so much more that is for us. And he said, Lord, please open up his eyes. And the prophet stood, and the young man said, my goodness, there are more that are for us than those that are against us. And right now, even if you're not aware of it, I want you to know that this atmosphere that we're in is flooded with heavenly activity. We don't have a church, and I don't bring this stuff up all the time because I don't want us to get out there where some people can take stuff too far, but I want you to know, we don't have a service where they're not angels that are here presently. I tell you, some people that have received healing is because an angel has went and received something on your behalf. Listen, I'm telling you that we are going to get ourselves aware of the supernatural. That's what the church needs today. And that's what we need. We need to see the miraculous power of God touching, stirring, and doing what God does. Now, when Pastor Regina said that when we go overseas, he doesn't worry, one day I was all nerved up about the first time I ever went overseas. Because I'm telling you, I used to be terrified to fly. And I remember that even Regina, sometimes she would call if I was late or stuff. She'd say, honey, what's going on? Are you okay? And this one day, the Lord just showed me that he already gives me glimpses of tomorrow. And just because I already have glimpses of tomorrow, I know that the Lord is going to finish this day, take me where I need to go, and bring me back. Because there's still future out there for us to build. And I will tell you that you can have an absolute confidence about God's hand being upon your life. You can have a confidence about God's hand being upon your children, even your wayward children. There's an anointing, I'm telling you right now, that we are never walking around without an identity. You see what that says? God's own. We fight the good fight of faith. You are a soldier in the army of the Lord. And I want you to know that just as much as the military walks, you ever been in the airport and you know right away, hey, there's a military man, he's in his fatigue. Listen, the devil said this about Paul. Jesus I know, and Paul I know. That wasn't random. You are known. And so you need to make sure that we also recognize the fact that to whom much is given, much is required. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. What are we supposed to be doing now? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I do want to tell you that the tithers have not disappeared. We didn't miss the rapture or anything. I think tonight they have a concert for the school. There's some school activities. You know how it is at the end of the year, whether it's graduation or different things. So obviously they're very musical, and so they have a concert assignment at school that's part of the education process. So we're praying blessing over them, and we just want it to be a good process. And we're thankful. You know, I want you to know. Go ahead.
I was just going to say earlier,
Amen. They thought the rapture. Yeah. They thought the
rapture. Told me to tell him the rapture happened, which I'm sure I'm going to text him. I said, we're just out with you. And yes, I said, Randy told me to tell you the rapture happened, and we were in a Chinese restaurant. I said, but this is not what heaven looks like.
Amen, amen, hallelujah. We're not going to be left behind. Do you know that the Bible says that just like we can know the season and the time of weather, we're going to know the times of God. And if you don't recognize it, I want to know, there has been a shift, and we are in a dispensation that is closer to the return of the Lord than ever before. I want to know that prophecy from the Bible has been fulfilled. There's many things that if we go through that Bible, we could say this has happened. So we are in that process. And I thank God that I think one thing that people forget is that the Lord says that before his return, he will pour his spirit out. He says there will be an early and a latter rain that's going to pour out on all flesh. To the degree that it ain't just going to be some little stream here. He says, my spirit will be as the waters that cover the sea. And so for many of us, I'm telling you that you might be in a place where you're wondering, and I'm not wondering. I promise you, we are going to see limbs grown out. We're going to see people healed. We're going to see people just set free. And I'm telling you, don't back off of your faith. Don't back off of your dream. Remember Moses, or Abraham, had a dream. And he thought right now he was going to have a dream. Well, his dream was not denied. It was just delayed to the timing of God. And I promise you, many of you have dreams and have visions and have saw different stuff in your life. And I'm telling you, don't let it go. In due season. I'm telling you. Altars will be filled. People will be weeping. Salvation will happen. You will look up and see loved ones and people that you were praying and believing God for, but it's going to blow your mind when they come out of darkness and they celebrate the Lord with you. So don't let your faith be shaken, my goodness. Don't let your hope be deferred. Get yourself stirred, because God is doing the abundance of the miraculous. Amen?
Amen.
Woo!
We have a friend that the unsaved husband has.
Oh, my goodness.
On YouTube. So
yes.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so we were. He wants to go to this one. We said, go.
Yes.
Christ is calling him. He's
go to church.
Calling him. Mm-hmm. Work mm-hmm. on him. Listen,
yeah.
I love you all. But if we're talking about a body in the seat or salvation in another body in the kingdom, because they want, listen, go get
Amen.
Them.
Hallelujah.
Go get them.
Hallelujah.
Bring them into the kingdom. That's
Amen.
What's important.
Amen.
People in the kingdom
Amen.
Serving him.
Amen.
Snatched out of the darkness
yep.
and into the light. That's what's important.
I'm reminded of another lady that had an unsaved husband, and quite frankly, he was kind of hooked on alcohol and stuff, and he never came to church. And I remember that this lady sowed a seed. Even pastors say to see. And then this lady wasn't even in church on a Sunday. She had to take a trip. That Sunday her husband came up and came to church. Got saved. And this is like after years. This wasn't like after a moment of time. I mean, this is after years. And he walked in, got saved, and guess what? He never missed another day of church after that. And he didn't just come to be a pew sitter. He got on fire and served God. I'm telling you, God is not finished. I feel that. We need to remember that he's the author and the finisher of that.
I
thought you wanted to have a little hint. Let's do it anyway. The author and the finisher of our faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, Miss Heather,
come
up
here. Come up here right now. I'll come back here. Just stay right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It lets us know what these issues are. But listen, when people came to the Lord and told them what their issue was, he never said, oh, okay, well, I'm just going to leave it. Just how it is. No. He would say, according to our faith, we're going to see something change. So here, I'm telling you right now that this diagnosis of some degenerative thing that's going to cripple you and get you into walkers and wheelchairs, that's not your report. Your report is that this is, might be the fact, but truth overrides that. And so we're going to reach into the realm of God, and we're going to ask the Lord right now to do that which only He can do, okay? Father God, in the name of Jesus, now God, we speak to this degenerative disease, Father God, this diagnosis of a crumbling backbone, degeneration of hips, bones, cartilage, tissue, whatever that is, God, we speak to that right now, and God, we command pain, we command all of this condition to just come out of her in the name of Jesus. Lord, we loose the working of miracles, healing flow right into this body, Father. God, touch every disc, Father. Lord, touch her spine, touch her hips, touch her entire bone structure, Father. And Lord, I command that all the elements that are required to come back into her body, into her legs, and into her movement, God. And Father, I declare her whole in the mighty name of Jesus. Loose her, let her go, be whole, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I got a question for you. A minute ago, you were in severe pain, almost debilitating. How is that pain level right now? Amen. 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 Do you see how you're able to lift those legs? Now listen, God has started what is called the working of miracles. There's a healing process going on here. That pain lifting is not momentary. Tomorrow when you go to get up, it will not be this staggering, stumbling around. It will not be, okay, I'm okay for a couple days, and then it just crashes down on you. That's over. That's done. You're going to walk in this. And when you go to your doctor's report, he's going to say, I don't know what they saw or what this is. He might even re-x-ray you. Because I'm telling you, this is changed, okay? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen to me. The Lord is doing what the Lord is doing. Amen? And I tell you what, I'm believing, God, that we have miracles right here like we do anywhere in the world. And all we have to do is hunger and thirst for God and know that He's our number one option. Amen? Listen, I'm very supportive of medicine and medications and doing what you need to do to build your faith to a time where you can be stirred to believe that God's going to completely set you free. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah, I'm just going to go.
Remind the women really quickly.
Yes, go ahead.
Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock here, we put those things together. We might send some people out shopping because we didn't do a count. We go, yeah, we got, $320 for the Alabama Bar Shop. And the offering is that we're going to go out and buy some more stuff with. So come over tomorrow night so we can put those things together for the safe haven. Right? The
Amen.
Thing that we're singing. 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
We're going to do a couple songs to set an atmosphere of worship in here.
Yeah.
Remember, like, I've asked some of you to fast. Or I've asked the women to fast. We're in the middle of the fast right now. And just focus on those letters, too, or the scriptures or the parts. You know, whatever God puts on your heart to write, that's the most important thing that we get inside those thoughts. Amen? So we need to make sure we bring those. And if you can't make it tomorrow, bring them in on Sunday. Right?
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I am, and we've tapped on it a little bit, not in the depth that we're going to get into it, because I keep wanting to preach on being led of the Spirit, and I am going to, and I am preaching on being led of the Spirit, But there's just some things that the Lord has asked me to carve in stone in our spirit because I really want us to understand something. And I want to just read a scripture, and then I want to spend just a few minutes establishing some things for us. And so we'll get into some discussion on the gifts and really being led of the Spirit, but I just got to start right here in the book of Romans chapter 8. It says in verse 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity or an enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You know, I want you to be understanding here that the Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And I do want to take just a minute to remind you that we are spirit, soul, and body, and we're responsible for these things. And really, what I really want to carve in your spirit and in your heart is that it is your heritage, and it's normal for Christians to see supernatural, miraculous conclusions in their life on a regular basis. I also want you to know something, that you are not a normal human or natural being having a spiritual experience. Once you are born again, you're fully manifested into being primary a spiritual being that deals with a soul and a body. Remember, the Lord never says in the Word that your spirit is temple. What does He say is temple? Our natural body is temple. So once we are saved and we become a brand new creature, our inward man and our spirit is alive, and it's the ruling authority that should always be activated in our life. See, one thing that we've got to get away from in our Christian life is that over the years we have processed things, and sometimes we act like our job function is a natural thing, and it's a different function than how we can be in church or at home. I grew up in a certain denomination that it was common for people to say stuff like, well, today, I tell you what, work got so rough that I had to lay my religion down. Crazy. First of all, you're not part of a religion. You are part of a supernatural family. And that supernatural family, it's not an option. It's not an option for me to lay my skin color down. Once we are saved and part of the body of Christ, it's not an option for us to pretend that we are not already seated in heavenly places, that we are not already part of a household of faith and a great authority of faith. We can't pretend like that anymore. Sometimes we live on this earth and we make all these excuses about, well, when I get to heaven, when I do this, if this were true, if. No. You have got to remember that Mark chapter 10 says that you should live a hundredfold in this life. You should have a hundredfold of supernatural experiences in this life and things that you develop by faith in honor of God. And it doesn't separate you from the fact that when you get to heaven, you will have eternal life there. There's an arena of authority and completion that should happen here. The Bible says, let's make sure that we possess and we fulfill that which is the perfect and the acceptable. And good will of God. And sometimes people say, I guess I don't get it. No. That is not the compartmental. That's the completion of what God's expectation is in your life. And so what I want you to understand here is that if we are spiritually minded, then we are guaranteed to walk in a realm of life and peace. So in other words, guess how we can be carnally minded even within the church? When our fears, our worries, our excuses of what this Bible says, or the places we don't understand about this Bible, when we start saying stuff like, I've never seen a miracle personally, so that must be irrelevant for today. Lies from the pit of hell. The Lord says, I change not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. If it's in the Word of God, it is acceptable and accessible to us. But we have to make sure that we don't take areas of our life, and because of delay, disappointment, or fear, we close the door to that and say, well, that's not for me. See, just because you've never prayed in tongues, it is not an earmark that gift is not for you, available for you, and doesn't belong to you, because it does. Now, I thank God that in the grace of God, there's provision that the blood is enough. And whether we ever speak it, pray in the Holy Ghost or not, we live for God, we can go to heaven because the blood is enough. But I'm also asking you, if Christ says in the Scriptures that it behooves you that I go up so I can make room for another comforter, wouldn't we have to be kind of crazy to say, I'll take salvation through the blood and what you did on the cross, and I can understand that piece. But God, Holy Ghost, the power of God, I'm good. I'll just keep things in my own hand. See, if we do that, we're carnally minded, and we will experience limitation. See, sometimes when the Bible says to be carnally minded is death, it doesn't mean that you get to physically just die and escape. It means that you might live your life with a lack of joy, with a lack of peace. You might live your life with fullness of anxiety, hurt, pain, and you might always be the one sitting there wondering if I'm good enough or if I'm not, because I've never really seen God move in a powerful way. Adjust all that. Because the first thing I want you to know is that here is who you are. You are a brand new creature. And so what I'm telling you is that we have a right to make the choice to just want to process everything about God in our natural mind where we feel safe. And in that, we can just see in our natural, and we don't have to ever go to the supernatural. But that would be wrong. Because the Lord says that I have anointed your eyes so that you can see supernaturally and that you can hear supernaturally. And I want you to know, as a Christian, you already have done those things. And if you've done them in the beginning or part way, you have a right to go deeper into the arena of what's available to you. Amen? Listen to me. You have got to accept the fact, and even I've got to accept the fact, that now that I'm saved, the Bible says, quit acting like mere men. Quit acting like you are that same unsaved creature that does not have a new identity of being part of the royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a supernatural people, and quit acting as though you don't have a supernatural identification because you do. And if you have a supernatural identification and you do, it means that you have an authority in the realm of subject whereby which you can begin to pray and walk in and see the kingdom of God come to earth in your life and see his will done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen, amen, amen. Now, I'm talking to you about this because I do want to say you one thing here, because how many of us have heard the scripture that says, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. How many of you have heard that? Amen. What I want you to know is that really what we need to understand about that scripture is the Lord is saying, not by the power or might of humanity on their own strength, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. In other words, I don't do anything on my own. We don't do anything on our own. We do everything by the Spirit of the Lord, even speak by the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible says in Mark chapter 13:11 that God, when you bring me before people, when you bring me before God, and they oppress me and persecute me, but you bring me before them, I don't even have to predetermine in that moment what I speak, because it will be the Holy Ghost. Well, I got a question. Do you think that the Holy Ghost only wants to touch your mouth or your words in front of other people? In fact, to be honest, the Lord really wants to touch your words in your prayer time, because he says that which you pray in secret can be revealed openly. One of the most profound times where you need God to touch your words is when you're praying and speaking and confessing over the people you love. Woo! Now, here's what else I want you to know. If the Lord did not want power and might and authority in your life, then why would this scripture say this? Remember, he says, not by power, not by might. In other words, not by the natural forces of the power and the might of humanity or man and what they've established, but by my spirit. The very fact that the Lord is talking about by his spirit is letting you know that he wants you to impact this earth, every relationship you have, your family, your church, your work, even the unsaved that you don't know that you have a right to pray for in this community that we should be praying for, in this region, in this land, even the U.S. and the world that we should be praying for. God wants you to affect all that by his spirit, which is automatically, supernaturally more powerful than the might or the power of mankind. And this is how you know that to be true, because this is what the Lord says about you. Say, this is what the Lord says about me. Now that I'm saved, now that I'm a new creature, this is who I am. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Woo! So now, I want you to say this. My spirit is filled with power, love, and a sound mind. Do you know why your mind is so sound? Because you don't even have your own mind. The Bible says that I have been changed. And Roger, whose mind do we now have? Jesus. Amen. Whoa! The Bible says that I have the mind of Christ. Now, that means that he was the first of many brethren. And that means that each one of you are now filled with power, love, and a sound Christ mind that can hear God clearly and can speak in the authority of the Holy Ghost. So now when we think like this, I want us to understand something, that God has given us the power to perceive, to determine, to see, and to have the same wisdom-type understanding about situations that Jesus had. And in order, before I go into that next piece that I want to get to, I do want to go to Psalm 139 just for a minute, because we love the scriptures that are in Psalm 139, 13 through 14. You might even be able to quote them, because it says in there that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, because the Lord knows us even before we are in our mother's womb. But here is what I want you to know about a supernatural being like yourself. And you're going to see this through Christ. That you are clearly thought of and created by the Spirit of God even before you're in your mother's womb. What he says. Remember, the Bible even gives us references to these things, because in one scripture, the Bible says Levi paid tithes in Abraham when he was yet in his loins. Now, if he was in Abraham's loins, that means that he hadn't even crossed over to be in his mother's belly yet. And what, I heard that, Roddy said it clear, he had never even swam yet. Woo, praise God. I wasn't going to go there, but he opened it up. My goodness. I won't even get to the scary fact that there's like over 4 million opportunities every time they go swimming. And so, the book took 10 times, there was 40 million opportunities before the Lord said, there's Robbie! And I want him! Praise God. Boy, that's a scary fact, isn't it? But anyhow, what is so hilarious here is that we know that God has to create us before we even appear in man, and then he's in the creation process the whole time until we come forth. But here's what I want you to know, where some Christians can fall into trouble. And this is going to really revolutionize you. Don't raise your hand. But as a Christian, do you regularly read the Bible? Because if you don't, there's still some deficiency that will never let you fulfill your full identity in God. And here's how we know that. Guess what it says later in Psalms 139? After we swam, and after we are fearfully and wonderfully made. In Psalm 16, it says this. Thine eyes did see my substance, listen, yet being unperfect. In other words, even though I was complete, the fullness of the substance, or all the matter that is supposed to make me up, was still incomplete. And in thy book, all of my members or my parts were written, which is in continuous, were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Now we understand why even Jesus himself studied so hard up until he was 12 years old. And it wasn't until 18 years later that he opened that book of Isaiah, and what did he say? This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears because in other words, Logan, there is some completion of you in the spirit realm as a man that cannot happen until your spirit is bathed in the Word of God. And once you are bathed in the Word of God, then a completion comes upon you. Your faith moves, you move, you start discovering new identity, the anointing in you increases, and before you know it, you will become the complete person that you were meant to be on this earth. You must be spoken to just like they were supposed to. That's why the Bible says, make sure that you are sowing in abundance into your spirit, because out of your mouth will come the issues of life. You have the power to speak life or death. And it also says this, as a man's heart or his spirit is, so is he. So here's what I want you to know. In this journey and in this pursuit, the supernatural realm must be perfected in you through the Word, because remember, Jesus ate natural food, did he not? But there was moments where his disciples said, Lord, we prepared some fish for you like you did for us. And Jesus said, I really can't do it. And they said, what do you mean? He said, well, I have some bread to eat that you know not of. And they said, did you see the master today? Nope, no, that's what's happening. Because at that moment, he was fortifying his spirit with that which was completing him, so that he could be such a powerful example. And he was in such a degree that, remember, that after Jesus was gone, other men looked at his disciples and said, these guys used to just be common, normal, ordinary men. But as we listen to them speak now, and as we see the same men with the same name, but now, having been in the Lord's presence, we can tell that he's been with him, because before they were common and unknown, but now these men are famous. And so I want you to understand something, that I had a revelation even this week. I was praying, and God reminded me that even the call to be pastors was not on Regina and I when we first got saved. Now, we were diligent, we were working, we were doing all these things, but it was after a season of time that we read the Word. I'll never forget, we were in our apartment, we had been praying, and I said, Father, help me to be the best husband I can be, and let me to be the best father I can be, and Lord, help me to be the best everything. And the Jesus said, go ahead and say it, man, the best pastor that you can be. See, that revelation of our call was not given to us until the Scripture had started to form the members and the part of us that only exists in the Word of God. Is any of us the exact same person we were before we got saved? Not only did you have a transforming experience when you got saved, but now that you've added the Word to it, your thoughts are changing, your attitudes are changing, your boldness is changing, and as we pursue God, we become the moment, glory after glory, of being transformed. Now I want you to just take all that, and I'm going to jump to see how the gift of the Spirit can add to your life and can help you, and we're going to go to a place in the Scripture where we see Jesus begin to show us how once he stood up and said what he said, there was a transformation to such a degree that he said, oh no. He said, this is not just a moment of time. From this day forward, you will see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. In other words, what he let people know was that this wasn't just because he stood up in the synagogue and said that he's anointed. He wanted everybody to know that there had been an increase of the anointing, the presence, the power that was going to be proceeding out of his life from that day forward. And what I want you to know is that Jesus constantly saw through the Spirit, heard in the Spirit, and used his faith in the Spirit. Remember, countless times Jesus would say, listen, what I say and what I do is not coming from the wisdom of man. What I say and what I do, I only do what I hear my Father say. And I only do what I see my Father do. And I only say what I hear my Father say. Well, did God speak to him every day through his prayer? Oh, I'm sure he did, but guess what he spoke to Jesus the most? In the reading of the word, and in the confirmation of the word. In fact, even when people said, Jesus, are you who you say you are? He said, review what's going on with me, and confirm through the scriptures if what it says about to go tell John that the blind see and the deaf hear, and blessed is every man that's not offended. Remember that? Sometimes we want comfort in our natural soulless realm that can only come through the voice and the spirit of God touching our spirit. Amen? Now, I want to jump crazily forward just real quick for just a few minutes into this, and we'll really start getting into this stuff next week. But I want to read it to you out of Mark chapter 2, because we're going to see some things in here that I want you to be aware of. And this is about Jesus, and he's praying for a man that had palsy, which was a terrible disease, and the guy got healed. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Woo! So everybody was talking about, hey, Jesus is around. And straightway, many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now, I want you to know that, first of all, supernatural activity of faith releases supernatural results. These guys could have easily came to the door and said, you know what, Bubba, you're pretty heavy, and it's crowded here, so we're going to try next time. How many of us would have had the with a person that can't even carry themselves, it's like extra heavy because they can't even help you, and go through the effort of giving him before Jesus. Now, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning out loud, shouting and being negative towards the Lord. Is that what it says? No, it says, reasoning in their hearts. Have you ever heard me when I'm preaching and it's quiet say, oh, I just heard that, and I preach on something even the more? It's because of this right here. Which reminds me, I better tell you something. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Now listen, and immediately, when Jesus heard with his natural ears what they were speaking out loud, now, it says that by the Spirit of God, Jesus could perceive and hear what was in. In other words, in their mind, they're saying, who is this guy talking to Jesus? And Jesus was able, by the gifts of the Spirit, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the discerning of spirits, the operations of the supernatural realm of God. This experience, sometimes we don't we're not afraid of it. But when we discern and perceive what God is doing, suddenly there is an authority in the room to reach in the spirit to the power and life that belongs to us. See, I really, we preached on these miracles enough, but I want us to see what is helping bring the miracle to pass. Immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves. See, this was never a spoken conversation. Jesus got clarity from the Holy Ghost on what they were saying and what they were thinking. And because of that, he was able to answer them outwardly. And he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Why would you allow your natural mind to think lower of me and lower than the power of God and lower than the kingdom of what you should think? What Jesus is saying. And then he just says, whether it is easier to say the sick to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. What do you think is easier? What he's saying is that he'd already given us what it says in 1 Peter 2:24. That through the remission of his blood, we receive redemption from our sins, and by his stripes we are healed. They already knew that. It was already in the scriptures, right? And Jesus is saying, what do you think is easier for me? Actually, don't you think it would be harder for me to say your sins are forgiven? Why would you be worried about whether I said your sins are forgiven or rise up and walk? In the power of God, all of this is available to you. You see right now why I want to write every so-called scholar that is so intellectual that they've actually said that healing is not for today. Do you see why I want to write them and say, what a shame for you to say something so disrespectful against this word and the spirit of life and what our Father in heaven has said. How dare you? Well, I've had someone close to me die. I have too. But it did not make me sit there and deny the truth of God's word. And I thank God I haven't let that happen, because guess what? I have seen even a personal family member die. But guess what? I've seen so many people healed that I thank God that I didn't let my experience belittle God. And I'm not afraid to tell anybody that I might not have the answer for you. I remember one time when Regina and I fasted the first time, we had a couple who was pregnant. I remember my brokenness in talking to them because I had no answer. And I said, listen, I can't answer. I don't know what that is. I said, but I do know this. Your baby's already in heaven waiting to see parents as they say to life. And I said, I do know this, that you allow God to let you be healed and use your faith, and God's going to do something. Well, guess what? Wasn't too long after that, they had cancer. Now, did it make the first experience go away? No. But thank God that they didn't let their first experience stop them from reviving their faith and believing God for what could be. Amen? And so what I'm telling you in this is that all of this happened because the people bringing the man left the natural and used their faith. Bold enough to rip the roof off and believe that they wouldn't get shot for it with arrows and all that. And certainly Jesus was in the realm of faith because he could hear what was in hearts and he could hear what was said without ever once having it said in the natural. Amen? Now tonight we're not going to go there, but we're going to start there next week. Because you're going to see that after the disciples were here and Jesus was gone up, there was a time where Paul perceived that a
So here's what I want you to understand. If Jesus had the power to have the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and the discerning of spirits working in his life, then what do you have the power and the right for today? Amen? Hallelujah. Earlier today, Holly had a situation, and by faith, she reached out. We prayed, and by the end of the day, things had already been supernaturally touched. What if we had just said, oh no, what these doctors said? But here's what I want you to know. You need to start asking God in your relationships, in your marriages, in your job, in your assignments, in the love for your family. Start asking the Lord, Lord, help me discern what I should say, what I should pray, what I should do, and just do what God asks you to do and see what the results will be. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we declare your glory tonight. We exalt you.